Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You guys ready for this?
Yeah!
Oh, you're not ready for this. Good morning. Hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So I committed a major Christmas season foul just yesterday, and I want to share it with you that you could learn from my mistakes, okay? Because that's, I think, what life is about. We make a lot of mistakes, and hopefully we gain in wisdom through our mistakes. So I'm going to tell you one of my mistakes that you don't have to repeat. You may if you want to. But yesterday, I needed to get a little bit of shopping done, and I decided to go to the Fox Hill Mall. And everyone else in Los Angeles went to the Fox Hill Mall yesterday. So I got there. I was immediately confronted with the reality that I'm not going to find a parking place. It only took me 15 minutes to pull into the mall to finally get out of the mall to leave. And so I just learned from me. If you have shopping to do on Saturday, Amazon.com. If you need to shop on Saturday, save yourself the heartache and the potential loss of your salvation and just go ahead and just Amazon.com. Prime shipping, boom. Or Love the City thrift store for your shopping needs. Thanks, Emma. If they don't have it at Love the City thrift store, you don't need it. That should be your logo. I'm in the wrong business. I should have been into advertising. My name is Matt Kladnick, and it's great to be with you here as we get ready for Christmas. There's going to be a kids program. The cutest part of the Sunday morning isn't the moment we're in right now. It'll be pretty soon afterwards when all the kids are here doing their songs. Our Christmas Advent series is underway. We are in our third week of Advent today. We've had two Sundays of Advent. The first candle was the candle of hope, and then the second candle was the candle of love. And today, we will be talking about the candle of peace. Thank you, Tim, for reading the scripture earlier to catch us up together. So the scripture is found in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says this, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." Verse 10, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. It will be for all the people.'" Can you say amen right there? Jesus was good news for all the people. Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you." This is how you're going to know whether what I'm saying is true. "You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst those with whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Isn't that a brilliant story? Isn't that a brilliant account of the birth of Jesus and the angels and the multitude of the angels? It's such a pretty picture for us. As I was studying this scripture, I read a commentary, and one of the commentaries I read, it said this. It said that the birth of Jesus was the most peaceful scene the earth has ever known. Has anyone ever seen a baby being born? I don't know if this person has. I agree, and I think I disagree with that statement. The birth of Jesus was the most peaceful moment the earth has ever known. Because I have seen children being born. A child coming to this earth is a lot of things. Peaceful isn't one of the words I would use to describe the birthing of a baby. If you've ever been to the scene of a birth, it's less zen and more triage, you know? It's less peace and just candles and it's more triage center. It is. You've been there. I've been there. It's screaming. It's crying. It's tears. It's stress. It's blood. It's placenta. It's all the stuff. Let's be real here. Does all that sound like a peaceful moment? Not to me. I've been there. I've seen it. I've held my wife's hand as she's had two of them, and a third will be on the way. And trust me, the third will be as peaceful as the other two were. Births are, under the best of conditions, messy. Births are messy. Under the best of conditions, births are a kind of gross. But births are really stressful, too. Yet amidst the chaos of Jesus' arrival, peace was really landing on earth. And I've been just meditating on this idea that Jesus' birth was a peaceful moment. I have trouble understanding that a birth of a baby, or the birth of anything, is a peaceful moment. It's stressful. It's crazy. It's screaming. It's a triage center, not a Zen garden. Too often we think that peace is the absence of chaos, but Jesus' birth tells us something very different than that. Peace is most real in the middle of chaos. If God wanted Jesus' arrival to be super peaceful, then why didn't God just teleport or just beam Jesus down, you know, Star Trek style, just beam him down, you know, Paul, and then just Jesus just poof was there. That would be more peaceful, right? If Jesus just appeared all of a sudden, that sounds like it'd be more peaceful. When we ask God to give us peace, and I'm just meditating on this and I'm processing with you out loud here, that when we think about Jesus' coming, that Jesus' coming was the most peaceful moment the earth has ever known. I agree. But also, I see that peace doesn't push out all the chaos. Peace just coexists with the chaos. Jesus arrives as the most peaceful landing the earth has ever known. And it didn't dispel all the chaos that happened in the midst of all the chaos of life. So when you ask Jesus to give you peace, don't expect your chaos to disappear. Can I preach that for a second? We're not even in the sermon yet, so this is all free for you. When you want Jesus to give you peace, it doesn't mean the chaos just vanishes and disappears. It just means that something settles that is greater than what you're experiencing in that moment. Have you felt that peace, that supernatural peace that is greater than your current understanding? That peace that settles, it just seems to be louder and more vibrant and more real than the pain and the trial that you're in. That's the peace that only Jesus can bring you. So when I think that Jesus came as the most peaceful moment the earth has ever known, it wasn't without its chaos, it wasn't without its drama, it wasn't without the blood and the screaming and the tears and the grossness of it all. The peace of Jesus, it comes to meet us in the middle of our mess. That'll preach. We could just leave right now. Hey, whatever your situation is, and I don't know the chaos you're in, I got an idea. We all have a little bit of chaos right now. You have chaos in your relationship with God right now. Some of us have chaos in our relationships right now, and you're navigating the complexities of a spouse or a friend or a brother, sister, a mother, a father. And some of us have inner chaos. You have inner grief that you're wrestling with. I just want you to know, if you hear anything today, Jesus wants to meet you in the middle of your chaos. Can we just pray for a minute? I think when we enter into a holy moment, it's a good time just to time out and just commit our time to the Lord. God, we thank you for this special moment, and it's a holy moment. Holy Spirit, would your peace settle into our most chaotic moments of our lives? For those that are grieving, and this is going to be a difficult Christmas without a loved one, Holy Spirit, send your peace right now, like a blanket that would cover them. And for those that are in relational discord right now, you got a husband that's acting like a fool. You got a wife that's been crazy. God, would you send your peace into marriages in this place? God, would you give us your perspective? Would you give us the hope that only you can give in the middle of really painful things? And God, for those of us that are just struggling with depression and doubt and worry and anxiety, we ask for your peace to settle. Can we breathe it in? Can we just take a deep breath? Yeah, Lord, fill our lungs with your peace today. Amen? Amen. The passage we read, it talks, and there's a statement, and it's not just an angel that says it, it's this host of angels that come and they sing this praise to God, and this was a very special moment, and it's Luke chapter 2, verse 14. You probably remember in the King James Version, I know I do better. Let me read to you in the old King James Versions, "Dost thou knoweth." It says this, Luke chapter 2, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." When Jesus arrived, he ushered in a new era of peace. The reign of peace that Jesus brought with him was really a return to what God had initially created. When God created the heavens, the earth, and male and female, and the animals and all the plants, he created this garden, this world that only peace dwelled in it. The earth was perfect and everything in it. God, what God made was right. And he said that it was good. And the word there for good, it means that it was complete and lacking nothing. So when God spoke the earth into existence, he created all of it, Adam and Eve and the garden, the plants, the fish, the platypus, everything else that God made. He looked at it and said, it's good. It's all good. It's all right. It lacks nothing. It's perfect. And we know what happens in the story, that sin enters into the world and God's perfect creation becomes distorted into something that he never desired for it to be. All of a sudden, the peace that God had desired for creation was skewed. And all of a sudden, this new reign happened where there was this lack of peace. I just envision these angels and a host of angels singing, glory to God and peace on earth. I think what they're saying is the tide is changing right now. We're in a new chapter. Jesus has arrived. There's a new chapter. And what you can expect is some of what God always desired for creation, is that creation would be in peace and in harmony. So when I think about when these angels sing this, they're saying, we're now pointing back to what God always desired, a peaceful world and a peaceful relationship with God, a peaceful relationship with one to another, and a peaceful and inner peace that we should all have always had from the beginning. It seems to me that God is desiring all of us to think that life should look more like the garden. And we can anticipate that in the end, when Jesus comes back again, that he redeems and restores all things. And the elements that made the garden what it was, we get to enjoy again. And I look forward to that. Prior to sin entering the world, there was peace between God and man. And prior to sin entering the world, there was peace between males and females. There's peace in relationships. And before sin entering the world, there was peace in the hearts of men. But sin did something evil and sin distorted that peace. And all of a sudden, where there was once peace, there was discord. Where there was once peace, there's chaos. That's why we have chaos between us and our relationship with God. That's why we have chaos in the middle of our relationships. That's why you have internal chaos. It's all because of sin. Sin has entered the world and has distorted what God made good. Yeah. So we're going to look at these three different areas of our lives today. The fall, sin, brought chaos to three different areas. And these are very relevant to our lives today. But when Jesus came, when Jesus was born, Jesus came, number one, to bring us peace with God. In the garden, we see this picture that Adam and Eve, they're strolling through the garden. You can picture it. That God was right there with them as they're walking and enjoying all of God's creation. And I love the story in Genesis where Adam gets to name all the animals. Like they just have a partnership. Imagine having that kind of partnership with God where he just kind of give you direction and you just go, oh, that sounds fun. I'll do that. I get to do that. That's awesome. There was this oneness in relationship between God and humanity in the garden that was really brilliant. There was this peace. They got to interact freely and God delegates responsibilities and they enjoy all of creation together. But when sin enters the world, all of a sudden, that relationship between God and man gets severed in a way that man can't ever repair on their own. And this is what happens in Genesis chapter 3. This is after sin has entered the world, right? Adam and Eve, they have sinned and that now they are trying to understand how are they going to relate to God again. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says this, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What would that sound like? I have no idea. Leaves rustling, I don't know. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. They hid themselves. God shows up. They've never had to hide before. They've never wanted to hide before, but that's what sin does. Sin makes us hide from God. Okay, let's get personal for a second. So when I have sinned against somebody else, I hide from them. Am I the only one? When I wrong someone, I avoid them. Is Tyra the only one that does that, or is it just me and Tyra? But when I offend someone, I hide from them. I don't want to deal with it. And that's what we see happening between God and man. Men and women have sinned, and now they are hiding themselves from God. And that's what sin does. Sin makes us want to hide. It makes us want to protect ourselves. So the fact that you and I, when we offend God and we distance ourselves from God, that is not a new reaction to sin. Do you understand? When we do something that offends God and you want to hide from God, you step out of community, you step out of church, you step out of relationships, you are doing what humanity has always done from the beginning. When we feel like we have inflicted an offense towards God, we just separate ourselves from God, thinking he doesn't want anything to do with this anymore. But Jesus came, and Jesus came to bring peace. And he came to bring peace to our relationship with God. This is what Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to re-engage us back to a relationship with God again. Jesus came to be the bridge between God and us. The separation that sin caused, Jesus has bridged the gap. You can be known by God. You do not have to hide from God anymore because of what Jesus has done. Whatever offense you have done, Jesus has paid for it. He's paid for it all. Don't make me break out to him. I will. Good. Jesus bridged the gap that sin had caused. There's nothing you can do to separate yourself from the love of God because of Jesus. That deserves one more amen. Amen. Through Jesus, you can have peace with God. How great is that? I don't have to hide from God anymore. My offenses should not separate me from his love anymore because of Jesus. So when Jesus came to earth and the host of angels said, peace on earth, the angel was saying, you can be known by God again. How great of news is that? The second area that Jesus came to give peace to is peace with others. In the garden, Adam and Eve experienced a union like none of us. Think of some of the things that can cause tension in a relationship. Can you think of one thing that causes tension in a relationship? Money, hello. What else? Especially this time of year? Children cause tension. Job. How about jealousy, greed, envy, offense? There's a lot of stuff that become between you and someone else that you care about. We're just talking about some of the offenses that we all have. Offenses get in the middle of relationships and they're like a wedge that starts to just drive itself and causes a slow degree of separation. Have you seen how offense has done that? You read something wrong. You didn't ask any questions. All of a sudden, what was just a little chasm becomes a great divide over time. And then when we don't deal with offense, that just is what naturally happens. I've seen it, you've seen it, you've been in the middle of it before, haven't you? Not with me, but with someone else. But in the garden, there was no sin. So Adam and Eve have perfect unity, perfect relationship. They were one, they were running around, enjoying all of God's creation without hindrance, without any obstacle in their relationship. But when sin entered the world, this horrible thing came down into the world that we all have had to deal with ever since then, and it's shame. When sin entered the world, shame entered the world. Because what is the first thing that Adam and Eve do? They go, oh my gosh, I'm butt naked. That's their first response is, oh no, this cannot be. I have shame. They never had shame before. They were just prancing around in their birthday suit. No big deal. They had no need. They had no desire. I'm not saying we should all do that. But sin has done that. Sin says, there's something between you and I need to cover up part of myself because I feel shame. I feel guilt about it. And in our relationships, that shame and that guilt can drive a wedge and can separate you from people that make you better. When sin entered the world, this is how Adam and Eve responded. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Then the eyes of both were open and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. They made themselves some, banana leaf undies. And they decided that was how they're going to live. So sin not only distorted their relationship with God, but sin has distorted our relationships with one another. We have all felt the effects of sin in our relationships. Sin makes us cover up our insecurities and hides parts of us that are really beautiful parts of our lives. One of the clever ways that Satan can get us to compromise God's great plan for our lives is by messing with our relationships. Think of how much time you have invested into maintaining your relationships that are always at a state of friction. Think of how many hours you've spent trying to navigate relationships. I think Satan knows if I can keep you guys busy quarreling amongst yourselves, you'll never do anything that I want you to do with your life. If I can get you guys just irritating each other so often, you don't actually ever get to the things that I have for you. That's a great plan, Satan. Let's just keep everybody real busy trying to navigate the complexity of the relationships so you don't ever get to step into the promises that God has for you. Let me just read you something from the Bible because this is too good. James chapter 4, it says this. What causes quarrels and fights among you? It's because the other person's an idiot. Nope. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this? Is it not this that your passions are at war within you? That this you desire and you don't have, so you murder? You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel? You do not have because you don't ask. You ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. I tell you, the wedge in your relationships, it isn't them. I think it's just sin working itself out inside of you. You fight, you quarrel, you disagree, you unfriend, you block, you...
Yeah.
You do this. It's not because they're horrible people. It's because that's what sin does. Sin loves to just to make us fight when we should be linking our arms, doing something good together. So where do fights come from? Where does the discord come from? Where does the relational strain come from? It's not always him, it's not always her. Sometimes it's just the devil. But Jesus has come to reunite us together. Jesus has come. I tell you what, you and I have a lot of differences. I mean, we all do. We all have a lot of differences. And I may be very different than you in lots of ways, but there is something that bridges all of our differences, and it's Jesus. No matter how different you are, no matter how different you see the world, you and I can stand on the same ground saying that we both love Jesus. That is the thing that unites us more than anything else. Living at peace with one another is really possible because of Jesus. Hebrews 12, 14, it says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. We should be making every effort to live in peace. Can all my peacemakers say hey?
Hey.
We need you. We need peacemakers in the world. I can think of a long list of relationships that God has helped mend. I can think of a long list of relationships where there has been tension, there's been trials, but God has showed up and he's restored something and he's actually made that relationship stronger than it ever was. I have a long list of people like that. But Jesus came to bring peace to our chaotic relationships. The third point and the last one is that Jesus has come to give us inner peace. You see, sin created this distrust, this doubt, and this resentment. So can you imagine this with me? Adam and Eve are in the garden. Sin enters the world. They make themselves some leaf underwear, and then they're offended by God, and God has to kick them out of the garden. Imagine walking away from the garden as Adam and Eve. I mean, imagine you're walking towards just this not garden, and you're looking, and you're like, man, that was so nice. You never appreciate what you had until I was like, you don't have it anymore, right? And imagine as they're walking, can you picture with me? Because I'm a visual person. I'm just picturing them walking out of the garden, and it's like they're walking to Bakersfield. No offense. Antelope Valley. And you're like, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I would have stood up for that. I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I would. All of a sudden, can you see how inner peace has been robbed in that moment? The doubt, the guilt, the shame. I wish you would have. I can't believe you. Hey, none of us men would ever say that to a woman. I wish you would have listened to him. Wish you would have followed directions. But I can imagine as Adam and Eve leave the garden, banished forever, that they all of a sudden, the peace that they experienced in the garden, they couldn't ever experience again. And the torment on their heart had to be severe. Yeah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says this, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Through faith in Jesus, we can have peace that seems unreasonable. Isn't that great? That there's no situation that the peace of God can't cover. There's no sickness, no pain, no amount of grief that the peace of God cannot reside in the middle of it all. Peace that is deeper and wider than any situation or any problem. Doubt, anxiety, worry, regret, God's peace can coexist right next to all of those things. So when the host of angels stands there in front of the shepherds and says, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, he was letting us know that Jesus' arrival was going to bring peace to the most chaotic areas of our lives. Jesus' arrival is part of God's big plan to see all of creation return to the peace that he desired. And the implications of Jesus' arrival, they're not just for later. The implications of Jesus' arrival, they are there for us to enjoy today. You can have peace with God today. You can have peace in your relationships today. You can have inner peace today.
That's right.
I want peace in all those areas of my life. Can you pick one of those areas where you really want peace right now? Is there one of those that stands out like, man, if I could have some peace in this area of my life, I would be so happy. Peace in your relationship with God, peace in your relationships, or an inner peace. Is there one of those that stands out to you today? All right, Lord, we ask that you would send your peace right now. God, you know the status of our hearts. You know our circumstances. You know our situations. You know the longings of our heart, and you know the brokenness of our hearts. Holy Spirit, would you come and let your peace fall on us right now? God, for those of us that are struggling in our relationship with you, that we just feel this disconnect. We feel this discord. We feel that there's this offense. We feel like there's distance between us and you. God, we right now feel you wooing us, drawing us closer unto yourself. Thank you, Jesus, for making that possible. And God, for those of us that are feeling the strain of relationships and the strain of offense, the strain of betrayal and hurt, the strain and the wounds of words and actions, Holy Spirit, would you bring peace right now? God, we pray for a divine strategy that these relationships can be either restored or forgiven. God, we pray that you would give peace right now. God, that you would reunite people who have been meant to be connected for a common good. God, would you do that by the power of your Holy Spirit? And for anyone today that is just battling with depression and doubt and grief and sorrow, and you have that inner turmoil in your heart, Holy Spirit, would you bring peace to that heart right now? God, would there just be a settling that happens, just an exhale that happens? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for making this peace reality. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this world in the middle of such a chaotic situation, a birth and a manger. And God, thank you for your peace. Would your peace wash over every area of our lives? And God, I pray one last prayer that we would be carriers of your peace too. I pray that you would just make us contagious with your peace. Let it just affect and infect everyone that we're around. Would there be something noticeably different about how peaceful we are in this holiday season? In the middle of the Fox Hill Mall, would you give us peace? In the middle of the parking lot, would you give us peace? As we scroll through our bank account, looking at the expenses going, would you give us peace? In the middle of the relationships and the phone calls and all the family drama that we are anticipating, would you bring your peace? Let this be a Christmas of peace. Amen.